Here we are at Photo Trash with
Dan Burkholder
and Elmo Sapwater. And we finally had to take a break because Dan got frustrated trying to repair a jeweler's lamp.
Well, it's like a 187-year-old jeweler's lamp. In fact, it came with instructions by Ben Franklin on how to wire.
So we decided to take a little bit of a break and talk about some fun things. And we're going to start out with, will this make me smarter?
No. Well, let's put it this way. It couldn't make you less smart.
It's called the Focus Pyramid. And this is, you can actually get more information on the Focus Pyramid at jcristina.com. That's J, letter J, CRISTINA.com/Focus Pyramid.
Yes, and don't make the mistake I did putting an H in Christina because I found some attractive Asian blogger.
who's now trying to webcam with him. Yes, she's really persistent. Okay, the Focus Pyramid is, you know, perfed cardboard, and it actually makes a true pyramid-looking focus system.
Mm-hmm. Sets up just like the Egyptian pyramids, though faster.
And I could wear it on my hat.
You
could. Yeah, on my head. Okay. And what do you think about this?
Well, let's talk about this whole issue of focus calibration. This device is meant to address this issue where when your camera, and let's talk first DSLRs that do have a panging mirror inside of there, slinging dust and oil all around. Unless that primary mirror and then there's a secondary mirror in our DSLRs that actually reflect the light down to the focus module on the base of that mirror box, unless all those are hung with exact precision for given lenses and focal lengths, though it says you're in focus, you might be slightly out by an issue of millimeters to inches. So the system and some of our better cameras, I mean, I had a 1DS Mark III, and you could calibrate individual lenses and it would store it, that information within the camera's ROM. So when you change lenses, that lens would then be calibrated. So for DSLRs, where you have this mirror inaccuracy potential, some kind of, if you're doing super precise work, this could be good. But then we need to talk about the new breed of mirrorless cameras that so many of us are excited about. Is it as important for those?
Yeah, you're talking about, you're headed toward live focus.
Live view. And I thought it would be completely redundant. Here's from the research that we were doing here this morning, what we kind of found out is if you're doing live view focus with mirrorless, or actually live view with anything, that is your image on the sensor, end of story. If it's sharp there, it's sharp. But if you're using focus with phase detection, because our new mirrorless cameras, they have the phase detection. Even our iPhone has phase detection pixels on the sensor as well as doing contrast detection focus. So with phase detection, apparently if you're using that for autofocus, there can still be a little bit of focus error even on our mirrorless cameras when you're using phase detection. But when you're in live view, sharp is sharp, no need for it. So you got to decide, is something like this, you know who's going to buy this mainly, or any of the system? We were looking, Datacolor makes a really nice competing product called the Datacolor Spider Lens Cal. And it's a little more than twice as mm-hmm. expensive.
$64.
Yeah. But there you're getting like a plastic stand-up thing. This guy, which is called the Focus Pyramid, that's portable. You can take that in the field. The calibrating lenses in the field, to me, is not a joyful experience. The data color unit is a more substantial three-dimensional object. You're going to do that, leave that in the studio. Mm-hmm. It may be a little more precise. You're not going to have the vagaries of cardboard panels kind of flexing on you and stuff.
Right. And so Joseph Cristina has created this. And basically it's easy to read, simple to set up, and it's $25. Shoot, review, adjust, save the settings, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, so they hit a sweet spot price-wise. But I think either of these devices, you know who's going to be buying these? Bearded guys who would have 20 years ago had spot meter holsters on their hip. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be guys. I bet not 1% of their sales are to women. This is geek food.
Well.
And I say that as a geek.
Why don't you ask that girl that keeps popping up?
Christina. Hey, Christina.
I bet she could tell you.
No, you're making me regret giving her my credit card number.
Really? Well, I believe it's going to be a love you a lot. Okay. We got to calm down here.
She'll probably have so many hits on her blog. So, you probably just turned her into a multi-millionaire.
Hey, what do you think of this? This is a photo
weasel. It looks like a drywall lift for hamsters.
I was thinking a pool.
What is that?
We're never going to finish this. This has got the photo weasel.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a little low on blood sugar. That's the, I don't know why we were talking about the photo easel?
It's by Crimson. That's and it, you know, it's really a DSLR stand or an SLR stand, anything with a tripod socket on the bottom. It's a pocket size productivity. It folds up kind of like a one of those little toys, you know, you used to read the cube, Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's
Cube. Yeah, it folds up very compactly. And they make one even where, I bet you could almost use this for your iPad or tablet, but they make one specifically for that.
So it does, what problem does this address?
Well, you know, if you're doing tabletop work or something and you've got a heavy camera with a big lens on it, you could actually position it, angle it according to your
for low design. Angle and shooting down in grass, shooting up, for instance. Yeah. Okay, so it gives you a low angle, and I love the way it is articulated nicely. You can fold it all around and
very nicely machined.
Yeah, if you like playing with little adjustments and stuff, it's got a plethora of those on there.
This is not their first product. They have actually made tablet holders, etc. But this is their first, more or less, foray, and they've shown it a few times. And I believe that other people are using it for like projectors, like AV projectors.
Those little miniature projectors. That'd be great for aiming one of those.
Yeah, it'd be excellent for something like that. And I see you're having just as much luck as putting it together as you did with the jeweler's lamp.
You can see why I stopped being an auto mechanic and moved to photography. Yeah.
We think this thing is, if you want to know more, you go to crimsonav.com, CRIMSONAV.com. And they're in Glenville, Illinois. It's about probably around $30-$40. And it could be a very nice thing. But, you know, talking about support, you've got the, which one? Shoulder pod. And I'm using the Redicam.
Now we're talking about supports for?
For iPhones, Samsung.
Right.
Any kind of size smartphone.
And what will that, accommodate, like the phablets, the 6 Plus and Galaxy S6? And
easily. Do it. You've got to get the Redicam XL because it has the extended version, but it has padding, so it doesn't mark your phone, and it will take an iPhone 6 Plus easily with a case. And it's all machined, it's all metal, and this one was about $24 retail, and that came from Amazon. .com.
And then you've put a little rig on the bottom of that.
Yeah, this is a little Manfrotto mini thing that we got several years ago, but the nice thing about it is when you're traveling and you don't have a tripod, what do you think?
You still don't have a tripod, but you got something else to play with.
You got something else to play with, but it's all metal. What do you think about your shoulder pod compared to this?
Yeah, every time I see the shoulder pod, I don't like the bulk. It's a real three-dimensional kind of rounded thing. Now, in fairness to them, it came with a handle and even a wrist strap, so it's really made for holding in horizontal video filming mode your iPhone for shooting video. Mm-hmm. But it also has quarter 20 threads on the bottom. It does hold up to a 6 Plus very securely, and it works like a charm. I put a little Arca Swiss plate on the bottom so I can put it on my tripods, which are Arca Swiss compliant. So I like that is more svelte, but the shoulder pod has a larger knob and also is rubber padded on the jaws. So.
And it's part plastic too, right?
It probably is, it's pretty robust.
One thing that I read in some of the from users that use this study, the shoulder pod, is that they claim that it had a spring in it and that in some cases TSA made them absolutely disassemble it.
That's very interesting. TSA has not done that to me yet.
And how much was your shoulder?
Probably around $35.
Okay. So we got a couple of options there. Now, the thing I really like when using these things is this happens to be a Dexcom Bluetooth shutter release, wireless. And so if you got this set up and once you've connected the Bluetooth, you can sit there and fire it. your camera.
Oh, this would be for like old-time people that aren't using an Apple Watch to fire their iPhone 6 or 6 Plus.
Like us, they're still using Casios that we can put in the shower without any problem, and we never have to take
off. Tim Cook showers with his Apple Watch.
I bet he does.
No problem.
Yeah. So, and you have an Apple Watch, so why don't you give us a little preview of some of the things you've been doing with besides showering?
Well, you know, as you've, all the reviews out there are saying this, the same thing, the reasonable ones, is that it does free you up from playing with your phone so much. What were their studies saying? That the average iPhone user gets the phone out of the pocket like 70 sometimes a day to look at it. So when notifications come through, and of course you can customize which, you can have it mirror your iPhone, or you can customize which notifications are sent to your Apple Watch. But I love, and you can turn off the sound, you know, get that little haptic feedback and look down and see what that message is. Does it need to be taken care of? Like my sister on her birthday, she had gotten a package today we'd sent her, and I was able to see that she was thanking me for the gift, and I was able to respond without getting the iPhone out. Now, camera-wise, let's talk about, since we're all about photography, I love the fact, and this is just going to be, well, I mean, first of all, you don't have an Apple Watch unless you have an iPhone. It's pretty much a useless device if you don't have your accompanying iPhone 5 or later to pair with it. But the fact that you can now, your Apple Watch is not only a trigger, but it's also a viewfinder. You see what the iPhone is seeing. You see a miniature version live on your screen. So if you're doing a group shot, you can say, oh, I better, you know, move these people over a little bit. And you can either have instantaneous shutter, or I love their 3-second delay mode. So you're not in every picture doing one of these geeky, you know, tapping on your phone things. You can tap on it, then put your hands down to your side, so you look like a normal person in the group shot. And it works wonderfully. It's a very cool feature.
I'm going to wait till version 2 of the watch, mm-hmm. Apple Watch, comes out, because I can say 2 family members in college, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Yep. Ka-ching. And we brought a couple of great books. The first one is, if you're anybody that wants to really get into business, Revelations Incorporated. It's by Brian Ray, R-A-Y. The Disturbing Truth of the Business World and Workplace Culture. Now, this book is not long at all. It's approximately, 100 pages. Very skinny book.
What's your synopsis on this?
You know, for the first time, if you've had a variety of jobs and you've had to work for different people in their employ, the biggest thing I've ever heard is when they hire you, oh, your job's going to be wonderful. We're going to start you at this, and this is going to be your job duty, and we welcome you here. You get started 2 weeks later, they say, I hate to tell you this, but the job description has changed. And he goes into great insightful detail that truly tells you, here's what they say, and here's what they mean, and this is what you're really going to have to experience. It's the first honest book about business that I have read in a very, very long time, and it's highly recommended. It said this book can ultimately help an individual increase their understanding and mastery of the business world and assist them among the path of true success, and must say, absolutely true.
Oh, great.
So if you're a photographer and you're working for somebody, you're an apprentice or a studio helper or something like that, this is a book to get.
Is it available as an ebook?
I have not seen it as an ebook yet. That's something that you would want to go to perhaps Amazon.com and check out.
Revelations Incorporated by Brian Ray.
Yep.
Hot tip. You know, while we're on this topic of books, it's well known that I'm a mirrorless freak, particularly with Olympus OMD system. And I won't mention the author of the first EM1 book that I purchased because it was a disgrace. Within the first 5 minutes of browsing, I found 2 serious mistakes. It's like the author had copied and pasted from some other books he'd written, which were on DSLRs. But the book from Rocky Nook, and Rocky Nook does good stuff. This is by Daryl Young, Mastering the Olympus OMD EM1. And very well written, very well illustrated, thought out, up to date. Kudos to Daryl Young and Rocky Nook for doing this OMD book.
And Rocky Nook is R-O-C-K-Y-N-O-O-K and at .com. And you can buy it directly or go somewhere else and purchase it. We have a third book called The Copyright Zone by Edward Greenberg and friend Jack Resnicki. You know Jack.
Yeah. I'm scanning all the pages to put online right now of this book.
Excellent. I'm sure Jack will greatly appreciate it, particularly since he will write a new chapter for you in edition number 3. This is the second edition. And look, if you want to know anything about copyright and copy wrong, registration, model releases, which are absolutely essential, fair use, pricing, negotiation, contracts, invoices. You're not going to find a better pair that write this book. And it's from Focal Press, FocalPress.com. Yes, very respected. So we've given you three recommended books here today.
You know, while we're on the issue of copyright, and this is great because a lot of people don't understand. They hear that as soon as you make an image, it's copyrighted, but they don't understand the nuance. So yes, that's true, but you want to go beyond that. Remember back several years ago, in Lightroom, you could purchase stock photography. They did away with that. That's no longer part of it. But I brought up in one of an Adobe convention once, why doesn't Adobe make it as easy for us from within Lightroom to register our images with the copyright department as at that time to purchase other copyrighted work? We should be able to select a group of 1,000 images and with a couple of clicks send that into the copyright office to have those registered. Why can't we do that at this point, or can we? I don't think we can yet. And one final point on this book, the cover has a very interesting kind of a zen-like texture to it. Almost feels waterproof.
That's a copyright.
That's a copyright cover.
Now you have used something interesting. I have no experience with it, called the Pixel Stick.
The Pixel Stick is a unique, think of basically a one-dimensional, it's a long stick, it's a little over 6 feet long with a single row of LEDs in there, 200 RGB LEDs that can change color. So you can paint by keeping the shutter open on your camera. I mean, it could be a film camera, but of course we're talking digital. So you can actually, by moving this stick through the scene, paint rainbow colors, or where it gets really interesting, you can load your own images onto an SD card. The little control box on the stick has an SD card provision. And then you can paint your own images by moving the stick through, and you can set different time, different speeds on the stick, and you kind of learn how fast do you move to get the image non-compressed or non-stretched. Mm-hmm. So pretty amazing, but there are a couple caveats in there. One, to get your own image onto here, you have to prepare it as a BMP file. Now, I jumped into Photoshop in like 91 or 2, so we're talking like 23 years ago, and have never had to make a BMP file in my life until I got this Pixel Stick.
That's a Microsoft format, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually stood for something like bitmap, but who knows. But you have to create a BMP file, so that's like offensive measure number one. And you have to rotate your images on their side. You have to create them at 200 pixels high. Okay, I can dig that. It's got 200 LEDs. You make your image 200 pixels high, but you have to rotate the image 90 degrees and save it as a BMP. The reason we have good software is so we don't have to do BS like that. You know, they're turning us into programmers to have to save in an obscure format and rotate the image. So it definitely has a decided PC feel about it. You know, they haven't entered the friendly world as much as they should have. But the hardware, I mean, nothing against the hardware. It's genius design, and you can do some very special things with it. Especially, this takes us back to my fetish of mirrorless and OMDs. The only camera that I know of is that it has that live time mode where you watch the exposure build cumulatively. So you can paint with a Pixel Stick in the scene and watch your painting effect build real time rather than have to wait till the shutter closes and then do review and say, oh, wait, I went too fast, I went too slow. You get to watch it build. That's pretty cool. So you mix Pixel Stick plus Olympus OMD is a killer combination if you can live with the BMP crap and having to rotate your images 90 degrees. I actually came up with a neat little system for iPhone or iPad and a little Kensington device where you can actually write to card. You can software an app that you can create a BMP on your iPhone or iPad. You can rotate it 90 degrees and save it on the SD card or wirelessly on this little in-the-field friendly device. So you can shoot images, load them on the Pixel Stick, paint them in your scene all out there in the field without carrying a laptop. It's a pretty neat system.
How much is this thing?
Pixel Stick is around $370. Mm-hmm.
And you recommend it?
For the right kind of experimental people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. We also have a thing about adhesive. This is called Sugru, S-U-G-R-U, and it's like Play-Doh. Comes in different colors, and we've been experimenting with it because we've had cables that have snapped or the insulation is broken and shows the wires underneath. And what you do is you roll this stuff up. When you open the pouch, you have 30 minutes to take this little dab of Play-Doh. And you put it on here, and it takes 24 hours to cure. but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a flexible silicone. And for listeners, right now the hot tip, so many Radio Shacks are being shut down, and they're blowing this stuff out of the radio stuff. Mm. They're 50 to 80% off on everything in the store, and that's where we got ours. Mm-hmm. And you can get different colors. You went with a rather tasteless mustard color, I noticed. But yeah. They have white to match your cables. They have black. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat stuff. I'm sure you want to mention the fact that it does have an expiration date.
It has an expiration date, but they tell you if you know how to open the package that it will last three times as long in the refrigerator.
The question is, will you last three times? No, it's cool stuff. And, you know, Apple and everyone else, they do this token amount of stress relief on, mm-hmm. you know, where the flexible part of the cable ends at the either Lightning or micro USB or USB, the female part. And this is a brilliant solution. And as you mentioned, in the field, it's great for in the field repairs. You can carry a pack of this in your camera bag.
But just remember, it takes 24 hours to really cure. And it works just as well in out of water as it does in water. You know, it'll cure in the same amount of time, basically. It's not temperature sensitive or anything. I did try to test one of these at the 12-hour period. It doesn't work. You have to truly wait for approximately 24 hours.
So it's an air curing. It's not like a two-part epoxy or anything. Yep. It's strictly air curing.
And the other thing to note, if you put it on really thick, the curing time is going to take longer. But this is just a few centimeters thick. So it works great. Comes in different colors.
Millimeters.
Millimeters, yes. Thank you very much, Mark. and now, as of early this year, you can buy it at Target. You said Radio Shack as well, right? Mm-hmm. Olaclip, they have announced a case. The case is going to ship.
For 6 Plus?
For the 6 Plus and 6. So we're really excited about that.
What's the name of that new lens that they're pushing, the Olaclip?
We're talking about the active lens from Olaclip.
Yeah. What is the active lens?
We're supposed to know that. One thing that's really nice about this is you have two lenses, so you can use either sensor if you want, because both sensors are covered at the same time, but not of the same lens. If you want to keep flipping, you pull it up and flip it.
That's kind
of
clever.
That's one thing that some of the competition hasn't been able to do.
Because they ain't telling us.
But the good thing about it is probably by the next time we do a podcast, we'll have both the case and the mm-hmm. action lens, and we can really put it to the test. And, you know, what's interesting is, remember the company that makes Element? They announced for a long time ago, quite some time ago, that they were going to start making a case that took the Schneider lenses. That's going to be interesting as well. And so we'll be able to test it against your Moment.
A lot of people are hankering to use their beloved Schneider lenses, and they've been waiting now for a long time. I mean, think about it. September to, we're almost to June. That's 9 months, right? Schneider's not on their game to be lagging that long. We're on the verge of having the next generation iPhone come out here in a couple months.
And what about the rumor of the iPhone 7, perhaps? 12 megapixel sensor?
It would seem that it's time to make that jump. We've been plateaued for 4 models of iPhone now, 4S, 5, 5S and 6 at 8 megapixel. Now, granted, it's not the same 8 megapixel. The sensors changed, the optics have changed, processing's changed. But if for no other reason than competitive kind of pressures, they got to go. Rumors are 12 or 13 megapixel.
Sony sensor.
With this, have you read about the RGBW sensor? It'll have a separate white, like only a luminosity only pixel in there to get better low light performance with the higher pixel density.
You know, that's exciting. If it works.
If it works.
And yeah. They implement it.
Sony has done some great stuff with sensors. They've also done some bogus stuff over the years. You remember back in the 80s, they had, or I guess it was probably around 2000, they had a sensor that actually had a cyan. It was mm-hmm. RGBC. Mm-hmm. It had a cyan. Mm-hmm. So it gave better blah, blah, you know, mm-hmm. cyan colors. That never materialized into anything last.
Sony seems to be getting their game back.
Yes.
So
even excited. Microsoft. I mean, look, Microsoft, they're no longer a subject of ridicule.
Right.
Microsoft's turning themselves into a different company. Getting rid of Ballmer apparently was a good part of that move.
Yeah, I should have done it a long time ago, perhaps. But they're really getting into, you know, different kinds of reality. And since like that, in 1 year with this new CEO, they seem to have come a very, very long
way. Their software is getting good again. And their hardware, I mean, that Surface 3 has quite a following.
Right, and you heard that beep, and you know what that means. Our microwave dinners are ready. One product that is really brand new is called the Caterpillar Crop. It's a scrapbook and craft paper trimmer, but it's great for photographs and laminates, you know, because we're doing a lot of laminate stuff at the house. And it was a Kickstarter product. It has two models. One has the paper tray, and this one has an extendable ruler.
Which is a nice feature. I love that. And it's in kind of this day glow green color, so you're not going to lose this in the corner of your studio.
Right. And the it's a self-sharpening blade with a lifetime warranty on it. And the rest of it has 90-day warranty. Has LED lights that are run by 4 or 5 AA batteries. And that's really good when you're trying to actually see where the edge is going.
You know, I'm cutting tissue paper here, a very thin interleaving tissue, which on my Bessler rotor trim has been it's almost impossible to cut. The blade will bunch it up. This, the Caterpillar, uses a gear-driven cutting wheel. The only warning on this, you do have to hold the cutting wheel. There's a little bit of play in there. You do have to hold it against the cutting bar, which seems to be no challenge whatsoever. I mean, that works pretty well. Having said that, I'm having trouble getting a straight cut with this system. It is pulling a little bit. You know, there are a couple places where you don't try to save money in photography. I've always told students, one is with tripods. You'll get what you pay for. Now, the other place is with paper cutters. So this, for smaller cutter jobs, with a single rail gear driven, they're actually driving the cutting wheel through gear movement, which is very clever. And it seems to do a pretty good job, but if you're going to do any serious cutting of thicker material, then you probably should go up to a rotor trim. Mm-hmm. Spend the money.
Right, rotor trims are great.
With a dual rail, so that's it's automatically keeping the blade pushed up against its cutting rail. But this has the neat illumination feature. Mm-hmm. If the paper's thin enough to shine through.
So it's designed to cut from 12 inches down, what they call to the smallest of silvers, has an LED light that helps you illuminate the cutting edge for better accuracy. They don't recommend you cut heavy chipboard, thick plastics, cloth, adhesive, or metallic stock. All of these, they claim, can ruin the blade and the gear mechanism. But what would you guess this cost? It was on Kickstarter.
Oh, a street price on this guy right now, let me guess at 34?
Yeah, right on the money. That's
serious?
For this model. There was one more expensive. And you can get more information at Caterpillar, CutterPillar.com. This is a 2005 product that has just begun to ship.
I like it.
So we have appreciated it, and you can write us at imaginginsider@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yep, you can send in your questions and we'll go from there. So next time we'll see you at another episode of Photo Trashing, man.
Photo Trashing. I knew there was a name.
Trashing your photo.
Now we'll go back to soldering your ancient lamp.
Oh, wait. We're not going to be able to make it because that girl is... What's her name?
Christina.
Yeah, Judith Christina is coming back. Okay, until next time from the Catskill Studio.
So long.